and amen. Lucy and Paul, thank you. And Julia and Elena, thank you for the beautiful flowers. Thank you so much for having them as a part of our service today. Title of our sermon for this morning, The Shaking. I need to tell you something. I didn't say this in the first service, and somebody corrected me, or at least let me know that I probably left this out. This sermon, this is not a sermon about all the reasons God chooses to take our lives. It's important that you understand that from the very beginning. This is not a sermon about all of the reasons that God chooses to take our lives. I can't explain that, neither can you. There are multiple reasons that I know nothing about, but it's God's sovereignty and his prerogative, and I can't explain that. The shaking. What is the shaking? Probably won't be many sermons on the shaking this weekend in San Diego County, but I will dare talk about it. What they tell you to do in speech is to tell what a thing is not. And what the shaking is not, and it's not to be confused with, is the shakers. The shaking is not the shakers. In fact, as I was reading, the shakers are called the United Society of Believers in Christ's Second Appearing. And they arose in England in 1747, an offshoot from the Quakers. And it's based on their demonstrative style of worship. That is the shakers, not the shaking. In fact, the Shakers believe that you can find God without the clergy. I happen to believe that's true. You don't need a clergy to find God. Amen? And they also believe that we should dedicate ourselves to pursuing perfection. I believe that too. If you interpret the word perfection as mature, and they believe that we should devote ourselves to stop sinning. I agree with that too. That's the shakers, not to be confused with the shaking. So why did you spend time on that? Well, if you go to the online People's Encyclopedia, Wikipedia, I know many of you go there, you'll find something very interesting that is connected with, if you Google shakers, let me read this, because this I didn't know this. They connected the shakers with, and I quote, emerging many other radical religious groups who form utopian societies like the Oneida community, the Millerites. Sounds familiar. We've heard of the Millerites, haven't we? And the Rappites and the Shakers. So they connected the Shakers to the Millerites, and you know that our history is steeped in the Millerites. Amen? In fact, I didn't know who the Oneida community. All I knew is that they dealt with silverware. And you know what I found out? The Oneida community was first a religious community that became a silverware community. So that was news to me. And the Rappites, they were a group that came from the Lutherans, and their group was called the Harmony Society in 1785, founded by Johann Rapp. And they're best known for worldly successes. They were nonviolent pacifists, and they preached celibacy. And so we're not for that. And they didn't believe in serving in the military, and I've served. So that's the Rappites. But I just find it striking that they would connect the Millerites with those other groups that I just cited. You always have to be reading, don't you? You always have to keep us informed on what's happening. The shaking. What is the shaking? Well, I'll just cut right to it. So I will not be accused of being heretical. I'll just tell you. This is from the Seventh-day Adventist Encyclopedia, Volume 10, page 1339. An article entitled, The Shaking Time. Let me quote. In Seventh-day Adventist parlance, a period preceding the second coming of Christ, when many members leave the church because of indifference, satanic deceptions, and the pressure of circumstances. That's the shaking. Is it in the Bible? Where do we get that from? Well, it is in the Bible. The word shaking, shaken, you can find it. I'll just give you the text. You can write them down, look them up. Hebrews 12, 26 and 27. That's an interesting passage in itself. Isaiah 17, 6. I would ask you to read the entire chapter of Isaiah 17. And Revelation 6, 13. It is shaken by a mighty wind. You'll find that in the Bible. Time will not permit to just go into the details of that. We believe also that Ellen White is a prophet to our church. Amen. Do we still believe that? I believe that. Oliver, I know you believe that. it's still, we believe Ellen White a prophet of our church. This is what she had to say about the shaking. She said, the time is coming when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The time is coming when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That's quite a passage. You can find that in Testimonies, 6th volume, 7th volume, 9th volume. She said there's a number of places. You can see me later and I'll give you that. And she says it's caused by the straight testimony called forth by the council, and Michael, you might appreciate this because I know you preach in this vein, called forth by the council of the true witness to the Laodiceans. Some will not bear this straight testimony, and they will rise up against it, and this will cause a shaking among God's people. Early Writings, page 270. Shaking, it's shifting, it's sifting, it's... But how would you tell that to someone who did not have a very good Bible knowledge? How would we tell them about the shaking and have them understand that? That's what I'm going to spend a few minutes doing. And I want you to stay with me. If you would go to the book of Numbers, the chapter, the scripture that was read, and I want to thank Savannah. We gave you the most difficult reading assignment. And we've had, and I don't know when, all of those names. You did a great job at that. Numbers, the 16th chapter. This is a story about the shaking. If you ever wanted to tell someone what was the shaking and you couldn't go all into the things that I just said earlier, what would you tell them? Tell them to go to Numbers chapter 16. And this is a more radical, a more extreme version of the shaking. Now, you have to keep in mind that this is a passage dealing with church people. Most of our sermons deal with both segments, not this one. This one deals with church people. Numbers chapter 16. You will hear it referred to as the rebellion of Korah. That's how it's listed in Patriarchs and Prophets. That's how it's listed in the heading of my Bible, but it adds a couple people there. It adds Dathan and Abiram as part of the rebellion. What I'd like to do is give you, because there's no way I can cover this in the amount, I'd like to give you an overview of chapter 16 and invite you to read that in your spare time, and you'll see what I'm talking about, that this truly is the shaking. And I'd like you to do that when you have a chance. Korah was a part of the tribe of Levi. Now, you remember that the tribe of Levi was responsible for taking care of the things of the sanctuary, things of the tabernacle. Today, the things of the church. Elders, deacons, and a number of other people, but specifically, we charge our elders and our deacons with the responsibility of taking care of the things of the church. And I can say here that the elders and deacons do a wonderful job of taking care of the church. You just need to know that. They do. And that's what Korah and his family, they were of the tribe of Levi. They were responsible for taking care of the things of the church. Korah was looking for a while at the two leaders, the high priest, Moses and Aaron. And he looked at them and said, I could do that. In fact, why aren't there more of us doing that? I could be high priest. In fact, all the people are holy. We're as holy as Moses and Aaron. And he started working that up. And working that up. And he had a group right next to his encampment, those from the tribe of Reuben. So he enlisted Dathan and Abiram and on. And not only that, the Bible says he got 250 of the most important people in Israel to join him. And he went to Moses and Aaron and says, you're high priest? Why can't we be high priest? You know what Moses said? You got to stay with me. Moses said, meet me in the morning. I mean, it's meet me in the morning. In fact, when you come, bring your censers with you. You know, the things with the incense in them. So the prayers, the incense represents the prayers that go up. Bring those with you. And so all the people knew about it. This was going on right in front of all of Israel. Talking about the shaking. And so let me start reading at verse 20 of chapter 16. Well, I'll start at 19 of chapter 16. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meetings. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And Moses moved out the way and said, take care of it, Lord. No, that's not what the Bible says, just in case you're following me. Moses said, fell down on his face and said, Lord, no, do not do this to my people. He pleaded for them. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abiram, the elders of Israel followed him, and he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all of their sins." So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, Abiram. And they came out, Dathan and Abiram, and stood at the doors of the tent with their wives and their sons and their children. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up," now I'm talking about the shaking, "with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord." Whew. What a passage. Now it came to pass, verse 31, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their household and all the men, with Korah, with all their goods. And they went down alive in the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. And guess what the children of Israel did? Verse 34, then all of Israel who were around them fled at their cry. For they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And then, and I was pondering this all week, God sends a firebolt and kills the 250 important people. Now, he didn't swallow them up. I said, "Now, Lord, how come you didn't swallow them up in that pit you opened up?" But he wanted those 250 to see Korah, Dathan, and Abiram go down. They had to see. And that was an opportunity when that happened for all of them to repent. There's like the ark. When you saw all animals going in there, you should have followed them right in there. But that's not what happened. God sends a firebolt down and destroys them. What is this about? Well, first of all, this story, this true story, is about do not follow wicked and deceitful leaders. Hey, it's sobering for me to tell you that, but that's really what it's about. Do not follow wicked and deceitful leaders, because you could suffer their same fate. That's sobering, being a leader. But you know what really gripped me with this story? It's not, you know, just the destruction, but it's what happened afterwards. Look at this. You want to mark this if you haven't seen this story. And you know what makes it, you know, Korah was Moses' cousin. I'm talking about this in-house stuff here. This is not sermon you wanted to hear. This is church folk on church folk. Verse 41 of chapter. And on the next day, all of the congregation of the children of Israel went up to Moses and Aaron Say, thank you for intervening. Is that what the Bible says? Can you believe this? After seeing all of that, they start complaining even more about Moses and Aaron. Can you believe it? They didn't get it. And this is what happens then. You got to go and read this story. Great story. God, because of the people's attitude, God sends a plague. And it starts going through the camps. And by now, thousands are dropping. In fact, I think the Bible records 14,000. And you know what stopped the plague? Aaron took his censer and ran in the middle between between death and life. And because Aaron got in the middle with his censer, God stopped the plague at 14,000 plus. Boy. Pastor, I don't want you preaching any more sermons like this. Bring back the smooth stuff. This is out of character for me, so why would you preach this sermon? I ask myself this. You know, there are times, and this is the shaking. You want to explain to someone with the shaking? Show them number 16. You know what came to me? There are times as preachers that we have to remind the people of God that God is not a wimp when it comes to sin. You see, you got to know that sometimes, and sometimes we have to be reminded of that because we think that we can do anything we want to do and God pays no attention to it, but that's not true. Sin is serious. Do you think we have people like Korah today? It's a lot worse. And we cannot, I hope you're listening, we cannot follow wicked and deceitful leaders because we will suffer their same fate. Why? You haven't convinced me. Why would you preach a message like this? I know sin is serious. You know, sin is so serious. This is why we have John 3:16. This passage is used a number of ways, but you have to read this passage like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me should not perish. We run right by that. Should I perish? Have everlasting life. The should not perish is in there because of sin problem. And the only answer to the sin problem is Jesus. That's why that passage is there. Because there's a problem with sin. Even in the church. Oh, that's out of character for me. Well, you know, two questions I'll have to ask. If I heard this sermon, you know what I'd ask? First of all, I would ask, since you said do not follow deceitful and wicked men, what do I need to know not to follow people like that? That's what I would want to know. And I do have an answer for you. And I'll do it in a story that happened a month ago. Make it more contemporary. There was a young man. They describe him as, you know, good looking, good future. In fact, he was in medical school at the time. And they've been looking for someone who had been taking the lives of young ladies. specifically taken the lives of someone in New York. And you know what they found? They found this Boston University medical student. He became the suspect. The point, how do you know? This is his fiance. He was due to marry August the 14th of this year. In fact, they call him the Craigslist killer or whatever. It's a young man in medical school, got his whole life ahead of him. He ends up being involved. And he was due to get married to Megan McAllister. How would Megan know? That's what I would want to know. If I had children, if I had young people, if my granddaughter grows up and she wants to get married, my grandson grows up, I want to know that they got the right people. How about you? How do you know that? Can I tell you? That's not easy. First, I'll tell you, I don't have the answers to every... That's not easy, but I'll tell you that most of us want to make sure that they have decent people. That they're not messing with wicked people, deceitful people. How do you know? Now, let me give you a passage. John chapter 16. Nevertheless, verse 7, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and see you no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in just a little bit of truth. You see, in relationships of life, and that's what life is about, you better be praying and praying and praying some more. That God would direct you in every aspect of relationships in your life. And you need to pray that for your children starting now. We need God, the Holy Spirit, to direct us. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And you know what I would want to know about the shaking? Not only, Lord, how do I know? But you know what I want to know? And after I finish this sermon, I wanted to know, Lord, am I a Korah? Not the person next to you. If you think about the person next to you, you got this sermon, you got it all wrong. You've missed the point. Am I a Korah? Do I reject the voice of God speaking to me? That's what every one of us should ask. And if you can't answer that, God can. Jesus can help you to answer that. He can help you to say, you're mine. I got you. He can do that. Do you believe that? Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Do any of you think you're exempt from that? Do any of you think, do you have the nerve to think that you are exempt from that? That I'm not talking to you? Lord, help me. Help me. I would not want or feel that there should be anything that could separate me from the love of God. How about you? Sickness, discouragement, family issues, money issues, lose your job. My wife and I, for worship last night, and I'm closing right now, read an interesting article about a guy. If you read review, you probably already read it, who talked about being hurt by a church member. I found it striking that he would write an article in the review about being hurt by a church member. And it made me think, Lord, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want anybody years later writing an article. They don't have my name on it, but I did it. That's what I said to myself after I read that article. May that be your prayer too. May that be your prayer. Because I wouldn't want that to shake anybody out because of me. How about you? We're serious times we're living in, folk. Do you know that there are people out there right now? They would take every dime you've ever worked for, take it and go and do absolutely bad things with it and could care less what happened to you. Do you know there are people out there that do those kinds of things? This is the world we are living in. It's a lot worse than Korah. And I'm not worried because I'm holding on to Jesus. He's my only safety net. You need him too. Let's pray. Loving Father, that's kind of scary. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That sounds like there's no exemptions. We'll be tested. We'll be sifted. But we want to come out on the side of truth, on the side of right, in the hands of Christ. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for a straight testimony. Thank you for the word. It can be troubling, but we know that you want to deal with the sin problem. Because you do not want your people hurt by the sin problem. So if you need to remove the Korahs and the Dathans and the Abirams, you'll do it for our sake. There's grace in that, Lord. It can be difficult to see, but there's grace in that. We thank you, Lord. You have been so merciful to us. Some of us, Lord, we are something else. And heaven knows it. Lord, so when the shaking happens at our door, oh Lord, keep us in. In Jesus' name, amen.